Well, welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study. We have Ann and Karen who are here in a wonderfully timely manner. Welcome, women.
Hi, glad to be here. Yes. Glad we made it on time tonight.
Hi, yes. Everyone.
And we have Megan, who is always timely. Kind of, I guess. I shouldn't say that. None of us always are, right?
Well, I'm here for seven. Hello.
Yeah, you're not coming back from El Paso.
No, I'm not. I'm just
although
coming down
last night,
for dinner.
You got home late due to mishaps in life.
Yes.
But praise God, because you have a good testimony of yesterday before all the snowy garbage occurred. So we're
and
a little bit snowy
here. We're out
here
in West Texas, and it's like 80 degrees and sunshiny, so...
When I go out right now, I have my -40 jacket, which I don't really need that, but I put the hood up because the wind's blowing and it's been snowing and it's just cold. So mm-hmm. I'm not cold because I just cover up. It's a wonderful thing.
My daughter tells me it's too hot here for her. And I said, whatever you think. If you say so, that's fine. To me, it's not.
Yeah. It's worth it anyways.
That's kind of mean on my part, but I just want to rub it into you, most people.
So we're actually going to have a discussion tonight on witnessing. And we're testifying that which we know. Every one of us here knows the Lord and has a witness. So please feel free to throw things in the chat that you would like us to speak on air. If you have a question, I hope and trust that the conversation will be one that strengthens you in your hope and in your faith and in your knowledge of God, that you may go forth in service to Him. Part of that service is our witness. Much of it is, and that witness is both verbal and just our life's conversation. How we live gives testimony to the Lord if we live a life in faith in Him. It will be manifest, and our words will give it words. I'm not saying it well, but when our words then come on top of our walk, they're believable. It's not a hypocritical thing. So we're going to start with two very similar verses. The first one's Matthew 10, verses 32 through 33. And then the next one is Luke 12, 8 through 9. So, Karen?
Yes, Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And I'll go on to Luke 12, verses 8 and 9. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God.
So it's pretty clear that we are called to confess the Lord before men. Now, the practical nature of doing that is something we all wrestle with. And lest I forget, one thing I wanted everybody to make sure they did and really listen to is this past Sunday's Texas service, where Davey very clearly laid out how to grow in confidence in the Lord, where you actually fulfill these scriptures. So I want everybody to make sure you avail yourself of that service. So it was the 2:16 Texas Sunday service. And I know I'm catching you by surprise, but before we came on line, you were talking about something that took you a while to learn, and I thought maybe that'd be a good starting point.
Okay. All of us, especially when we first come to the Lord, and as we grow in the Lord, we want to share the Lord with everybody we meet. But what I've learned over time is sometimes when you're talking to people, you just... there's no opportunity to share the Lord, or you just don't have the right words to say or what you feel you should say. And that we need to trust the Lord to let us know when it's time to share Him and also to give us the words. But what I discovered that sometimes people are really not open to hearing about the Lord. And if you talk to them, they're going to reject it. And if you talk to them and tell them about the Lord, they're accountable for it. They're going to be responsible. And if you do it before their time, you know, they're in a lot of bad, you know, it's not good for them to have to be accountable for what you say about the Lord. So don't be upset when you go out and you think, I want to witness to these people, and you just don't have the words to do it. Don't be upset. The Lord knows the proper time. You know, we don't. He knows the thoughts and intents of their hearts. We don't know that. And He knows when they're ready to hear it. So trust in that. Don't knock yourself up, beat yourself up because you didn't tell everybody you meet about the Lord, because they may not be ready to hear it yet. Is that clear?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Karen or Megan, did you guys want to jump in? I know you both have experiences that are important.
I have one that goes along with Anne's, that I was witnessing to somebody one day, and I was talking about the Lord with her a little bit, and then when after we got done talking, all of a sudden this scripture popped into my head, and oh, it was just the perfect thing to witness to her. Oh, the Lord is just didn't give me that scripture. I wonder why the Lord didn't give me that scripture till afterwards. And then, you know, in the vanity of my mind, I was thinking, oh, you know, I knew just the right thing. Well, the thing was that the Lord didn't give me that scripture because that person was not ready to hear it yet. And it was something that the Lord held me back from saying to that person, because that person would have been accountable, like Anne was talking about, and it wasn't the time to say that to that person. I think sometimes we get our own minds wrapped around what the Lord wants us to do, and our mind actually gets in the way. We need to just step back and have the Lord show us what to do and listen to His words and what He pops into our heads, not get our own flesh into the way, because our flesh always wants to insert things that are not of the Lord into a conversation. And that's an important thing to remember.
Joe, you know, one thing when you were saying that hit me too, that you started witnessing to this person, so they got some basics. And then you thought of other scriptures later to add to that, which it wasn't their time. But you never know. The Lord may bring someone else along that will expand on what you've already talked about.
Uh-huh.
It's not, we sow out, we throw the seed.
Yeah.
And somebody else may come and water it. Or we could end up watering it. So we just trust in the Lord that those people that we talk to will have what they need when they need it and when they can accept it.
Yep.
The other thing in saying this is something that was kind of strongly ministered for a while back, I think in the fall, but it's preaching the gospel. You don't preach, you know, everything else. There's a lot in the Word of God, but it all starts with the gospel. And for a person who doesn't know the Lord, what you give them is the gospel. And it's easy to want to add all this other stuff. I mean, it's easy. I mean,
oh, yeah. And a lot of it like is vanity.
Yeah.
And pride that look what you know. It's the gospel.
Knowledge puffeth up.
It's the gospel. That's what we need to talk to these people about.
Yeah.
And what hits, I know a lot of people when they first come to the Lord, and you'll say, all right, go out and witness to someone. I don't know enough. I have to study more. I don't know enough. Well, if you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, then you know enough.
You know the gospel.
You go and testify the gospel. You go and testify what the Lord has done for you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need 2 years or 20 years of Bible learning.
You know, it reminds me of that guy that Davey talked about that didn't know how to read and had a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he was given a Bible and he said, give a page of the Bible to each person that you witness to.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and he came back and he said, I need a new Bible. And he said, why? And he said, I ran out of pages. And the man didn't even know how to read.
He was, that's a lot of pages, too. The man obviously was very zealous in his...
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, you don't have to know everything. And that people, they let that stop them, and that's just pride. But if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have everything you need to testify and witness to someone.
And Carter wrote in, which is an important point, you always have your own testimony. A witness is a witness of something you know, something that you have seen. It is a testimony to that. Like if you're a witness in a court, you can only witness to that which you know, and so it is with us. But they, what you all are talking about is you also have to be discerning and let the Lord lead, and it's a place where you, and this goes back to Davey's sermon on Sunday, if you want to serve the Lord, and even if you don't but you want to, these are things you lift up to Him because He'll answer that prayer and He will bring it to pass. And we had to walk believing Him. And there's a couple scriptures that spring to mind. I want to give Megan an opportunity to share some things. But one, and Karen, maybe you would be able to read it, is 1 Peter 3:15. If that's quick and easy for you.
Yes. 1 Peter 3:15.
Yes.
And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation.
That's even not 1 Peter 3:15, is it?
Oh, 2 Peter, apologize. 3:15. Okay. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Amen.
I think that's, in a sense, it in a nutshell. First of all, you got to have that hope. And every one of us does to some degree. And then it is something that is really almost tangible in and of itself. Your walk, your conversation, everything gives a testimony to it. And your and the this scripture says to be ready then to give an answer why you have that hope. And I can't help but think of Gene Tink in the chat there, who had such a mighty hope, still does, because what the Lord did for her. And it just spewed out. I mean, it was like it came out of the girl's pores, I think. But it was, she had a joy that she had not had before, that then when she gave her testimony of what the Lord had done for her, it was believable because it was visible. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, that's the way it works when your words actually then give voice to what is already you, so to speak. You know what I mean? I have a bunch of silent people on my hand here.
Yes, it makes it evident you put forth there.
Yes. And Megan, I know you were sharing with me some testimonies, opportunities that you have had that I thought I'd like to hear you share with everybody else.
Okay. Really, there are three that come to mind. One was yesterday, before we plowed our vehicle into the snowbank. I was talking with a woman who would call herself a Christian. She has commented to me in the past that she goes to a particular church, but I haven't really thought that that there was very much there, really. Anyway, so yesterday she was talking about her daughter, and how delighted she is with something like Santa Claus. She's trying to teach her. She's trying to not lie to her. She's trying to teach her what is true. But this daughter, who's had a bit of a tough life, is so delighted with Santa Claus. And I put a question to her, which is that, you know, people have hurt her in the past, and she's found out things that were said that were not true. And perhaps this is one that is going to put her in a bad light. And I don't mean it in a bad light, but her daughter's confidence in her is going to be, she's going to be questioning even that relationship when she finds out one day that Santa Claus isn't real. And I personally did not know kind of where that was going to go, but this lady, she didn't reject it. It wasn't like a slam in the face and ignore me or anything. She said, but how do I deal with this? And what about when that comes up? And what, you know, she wanted to know, okay, I think I might be able to do this, but what happens when this happens? You know, what are the next steps? And that was really cool to me. One verse that does come to mind with regards to witnessing is, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and told him not to be afraid of their faces. Because it's very easy when you're sharing the gospel with someone to look at their face and think they've rejected it, or to think they've heard it, or to think anything. And like Anne mentioned, one of my favorite revivals that I was privy to, you know, 10, 12 years ago, Davey talked about the seed and the sower. And the simple thing is, the sower went forth to sow. And we are sowers. We have the word, we have the gospel, which is the seed, and our job is to sow it. Not to inspect the ground, to check the pH, to, you know, move the rocks before we plant the seed. Our job is to sow it. And this isn't the kind of sowing that I do in our garden, because we have small space and what have you, but the idea of the sowing seeds is that there's a bag full of seed, and you take out a handful and you throw it, and it lands where it lands, and it springs up. Another one was a woman who I had seen a few times, and she was talking to me about how fearful she was with regards to her children, that they might die. And of course, anyone who's in South Carolina and most other people here know that, well, that happened to me. My son did die, and the Lord raised him from the dead at the word of my husband's mouth. And before that, I didn't pray for every small injury or small anything, but I do now. And so that opened an opportunity for me, as she was saying how scared she is that her children might die. There was an opportunity for me to share my testimony of what the Lord has done for me. Like, we haven't got there yet, but like the Gadarene demoniac, where he wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, go home, return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. That's in Luke 8, verse 39. And so I shared with her what the Lord had done in my life. And it was a year before I saw her again. It was a long time. And I assumed I'd really just kind of pushed her away. And the very next time I saw her, I did not know I was going to see her. We bumped into each other at a museum. And She was pleased to see me, and I was pleased to see her, and our conversation continues, which is a wonderful thing, and I trust the Lord will continue to, that my conversation, my life, and the lives of my children, which are also in the Lord, will hopefully testify to her more of the Lord and his love for her and his desire to see her free of the fears she is bound up by and different things. The other one, which I mentioned before, is how before I was meeting with somebody, I prayed and asked the Lord, as I often do, but with a different kind of faith now, I prayed and asked the Lord that day to direct me to minister to this man on his behalf. He is a believer. We always talk about the Lord when we see each other. I enjoy our conversation, as I think does he and Steve. And when I came away from talking with him, I was berating myself that I had not been strong enough or forceful enough in the word, in the conversation, in the things that I said. And it was, I assumed that I had not been able to hear the Lord. But the Lord opened my eyes to see that what actually was happening was I was judging the Lord's ability to actually use me and to bring forth that which was of him. Slightly different example, but the same prayer, praying that the Lord would direct my day. I mentioned last week how 2 weeks ago I had a very frustrating morning because things weren't going the way I thought they should go that day. But I prayed that and asked the Lord for it. And the end of the day's testimony was the Lord directed the day. It didn't look like I thought it would look. But that was a good thing because he was the one who was directing it. So those are you know, that idea of not being afraid of people's faces. There are a lot of people who, when they meet with the true word, you know, they don't know what to do with it because it's not commonly out there. And sometimes you've just got to let things sit for a while and let the Lord work in somebody's heart. Once you've prayed and you've lifted them up to the Lord, make just leave them with him and trust him to direct you as one of his servants to bring forth the word that is what he has. Yeah.
To be, always be ready with that answer of that same hope that you already testified of. That I know you gave the Luke reference, but in maybe Karen would just like to read the Mark 5:18-19, and I mistakenly put it in as 8 in the chat. But on the Gadarene demoniac, because it is a wonderful testimony where you see a man delivered, and he did exactly what he was told to do, and it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Mark 5:18-19.
Okay, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee.
Now, isn't that the definition of what witnessing is about?
Yeah. It's having compassion on others because you've been through a thing too. When you're witnessing to somebody, the word or something that's going on in their lives. Like Negan, you had that perfect opportunity with Joseph having been raised from the dead to witness to this woman who was fearful of her children dying. That was just a wonderful opportunity you had there.
And that's the definition of a witness.
Yes.
Witnessing something that you have experienced yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's having compassion on them because you've been through something and you understand what they're going through.
Well, it's a kind of an interesting thing because none of us here had the experience of the Gadarene demoniac. But all of us, when we accepted Jesus, accepted him because we realized we needed a Savior, that without him we were lost. So all of us have a place of compassion when we look out and see other people who, until the gospel's brought to them, how can they be found? And that, Megan had brought up a scripture in Isaiah earlier to me. It's Isaiah 6:8, I think, which was a, and actually, we all know the testimony of Davy coming to Maryland, which I think, Megan, maybe you even want to share. Megan, do you want to read that one, 6:8, in Isaiah? Oh, you might be on mute, by the way.
Hello.
I wonder what happened to Miss Megan.
I don't know, but I have it.
Okay, you go for it.
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me."
And the Lord's answer, I didn't have a read 9, was, and he said, "Go and tell the people." And it goes on and says, "Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not." But you know, the Lord, there's a scripture where he says, "Pray the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the fields, because the fields are white for harvest." There is a people out there to be harvested. And you know, in Mark, the great what they call the Great Commission, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." You know, and as we know, that means you don't have to go over to the other side of the world. It's as you go into the world in your life. You know, we go to the grocery store. We go to a clothing store, we go, some of us, into fabric stores, we go to the auto mechanic. As we go, preach the gospel. Sometimes we're not going to open our mouth and give an oral testimony of it, but always we can preach the gospel and be ready, though, because the Lord has a word to be given if we will be willing. He's willing. I know one thing last night's Bible study was, Steve happened to say, you know, all God needs is a willing servant. And you see that in Isaiah. Whom shall I send? Isaiah's answer was, "Send me." Well, the Lord has sent us all. That's what we read in the very beginning, you know. Whosoever shall confess me before men, he's going to confess before his Father. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. So we've all been sent. And the Lord is well able, willing, and there to accomplish that in each of us. But we don't want to get hung up thinking, like we've kind of already talked about, that at every moment we have to have some godly thing to interject to every conversation with everybody we ever meet. You know what I mean?
You know, if you're willing to serve the Lord, he will use you. And I use Steve as an example, partly because he's not here. excuse me, but He sometimes mentions how he sits in his office, little room in Northfield Falls, Vermont. It's really not a big place. the house is big, but the town isn't. It's kind of nowhere really. And yet he brings people to talk to Steve from around the world. He's spoken to people from China, I think, Kenya, obviously Ghana, Lawrence is there, Liberia,
India.
This country, what's that?
India.
India, you're right, I forgot about that. Just, and they, the Lord brings them and Steve ministers to them. And so when you're ready, if you're available to the Lord, even if you don't go anywhere, he is able to use you anyway to minister to people all over. I mean, I'm not saying Davy doesn't go anywhere, but the Lord brings a lot of people across Davy's path, and that's even when he's still at the ranch. They bring him out there. They bring him over the – bring them. He brings them to him over the internet. I mean, I don't know exactly how many different ways and whatnot that the Lord brings people to Davy, because Davy is the Lord's servant. He will minister his word to whomever the Lord brings across his path. So if we can be like Isaiah, which we can be, then the Lord will, we will have busy lives living in him and witnessing him and his word and his righteousness in our lives, and being able then, when the time comes, to be able to add words to that, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah. Sometimes the words come first.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes.
But not always.
Yeah.
I remember talking to somebody recently, and I mean, the truth is we all struggle with this subject, or have, I think probably it's something we struggle with periodically. It's one of those things where if we are willing, the Lord is there and the opportunities will come, and how they look to us isn't what matters. How we testify of him isn't our business. It's his business. And he knows exactly how to bring that to pass. I was chatting with somebody who's, you know, like we all are, wanting to be a person that glorifies the Lord and brings the Lord into everything. And they had a new neighbor moving in. And it was kind of funny because sometimes it's okay just to relate to the fact that moves have a certain unpleasantness to them. And you don't necessarily always have to throw in some exhortation not to find it unpleasant, so to speak, you know. I mean, it's okay just to let a person talk about some of the difficulties of the moment. Sometimes that is a conversation that will open up and allow a ministry as time goes on, rather than interjecting, well, the Lord says this, or the Lord says that, or all you have to do is this, or all you have to do is that. Because that's to me kind of like saying to the poor person, go home and be fed when they have no food.
You're showing there's a difference between preaching and witnessing.
There's a place for preaching.
There's definitely a place for it. But preaching at somebody is perhaps more about you than about them and the gospel.
Yeah.
Me.
Go ahead.
I do mean preaching at, not preaching to.
Yeah, I know what you're
meet
talking
a new person.
Go ahead, Anne.
You meet a new person. And the tendency is you want to preach the gospel to them right away. But why should they believe you? Sometimes not, you know, there's times the Lord tells you, you tell them right now about the gospel, this is their chance. But a lot of times, let them get to know you. Let them get to know they can trust what you say. Then, when you preach the gospel to them, they're more open to it because they know you're honest and you're truthful to them. Sometimes it takes a little while to get to that point. Maybe it's say, hey, let's get together and have a cup of coffee. Yeah. And just let them discuss their lives. And you can share some of yours, but have an opportunity for them to get to know you. Then they'll be more open. Don't just hit them over the head the minute you meet them. Because why should they believe you?
Yeah. There's a lack of compassion in that and understanding oftentimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of times it's just pride on our part when we do that.
Yes.
Instead of taking time to get to know them and them to get to know us. It's pride on our part. See what we know, how great we are? We're saved and you're not.
Yeah. We're special.
Yeah, we're special.
There, it's an easy place to find yourself in, to think yourself better than another and attribute it to something about you. The difference between a believer and somebody who has not yet heard is simply Jesus Christ. That's the difference. And that isn't us. That's him.
Amen.
I know that scripture in Peter where it said, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That meekness there is humility. We all know that we're supposed to be meek before the Lord and not meek before men in the sense of being afraid of man and afraid of their faces. We know Moses was the meekest man in his generation. It says he was the meekest man on the earth. But he was certainly bold in the Lord to the people. But, gosh, I remember when I was in Georgia, one of James and Rose's friends, his girlfriend came over. And she did accept the Lord, though I don't know where she's gone with that, what has happened there. I don't know if she's come back to their house. But she was young and, you know, young, stupid girl like many of us have been. And, it was kind of interesting. What's that? Me neither. Well, no, actually, I'm going to say the thing is though I couldn't relate to every experience she had, I could relate 100% to this girl. You know, been there or been in a similar there, done a similar thing, and I was able to tell her that. She actually believed me. I mean, gosh, I got it. And I was able to minister the gospel to her, and we had a great afternoon that day. Don't know, can't speak past that, but, you know, I understand a lot of stuff. You know, kind of jokingly, I've said in the past, I wish I didn't, but in a way, I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? We're saved by the blood of the Lamb, and we stand in a right place with God because of that and because of His grace. And therefore that implies and means that we have had experiences just like others. And because of that and because of the hope that we have now that has transcended our sin and all of the things about us and all of our situations, we're in a great position to share that same salvation. But it doesn't come from a high and mighty place. It comes from a place that we partake because of what He did. He did it all. And we have a mighty message to share with others that they might partake too, but it doesn't come because we're just so smart and know everything and so special and so much better. It comes because we are no better. And yet, the Lord has received us because we took Him at His word. And then, if a person will hear, we're in a position to help them along because we've needed help. You know, it's not like we haven't needed help and still don't need help. So that same compassion and mercy and love is a continuous thing. It's not like, oh, you stupid idiot. Well, done that too, you know, before and after Christ, you know. So, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And those who have accepted that Son are now, it's for us to go and give Him out. But that's something that we not only had to be ready to do at every instance, but also discerning and letting the Lord lead, because our thoughts aren't His thoughts. Our ways aren't His ways. He knows the right way and the right time. And He's able to raise us up to walk and let Him have His way in us, that He might minister to others. And we got to have that hope and know that truth and step out by faith in obedience that He might perform it in and through us. But it is something that is authored and finished by faith. It is, it all rests upon the fact that we believe Him. And that, therefore, we also believe that we can do it.
And we have confidence in Him and not ourselves.
Yes. And that, you know, I mean, that's a learning process. But that is the gospel. You know, the gospel is preached by us because we're saved by it even as we walk, you know. It is an ongoing salvation that the gospel ministers to us and through us. You know what I mean? Did somebody have another thing they wanted to share? We had a couple psalms we could take a look at if you would like to move into some of them. I think everybody's on mute on me here.
I unmuted. one of the psalms that I was reminded of was Psalm 51, where David says, you know, create in me a clean heart, cast me not away from your presence, restore me unto me the joy of your salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. This is after I've received the gospel and I've received it. And then we can teach the Lord's ways of doing things and of, you know, and give hope to sinners like us. As you said, the only difference is Jesus, so that they can be converted, that they can likewise receive hope.
Yeah, and in a way, he's clearly speaking of being able to share that which he has received.
Yeah.
And, you know, Psalm 51 is a particularly beautiful psalm, and most, if not all of us, know it. It was the one where we see David's anguish, repentance, and cry to the Lord to forgive him after he had, slept with one of his most faithful friends' wives and then had the guy killed. And I was thinking about it because in reading this psalm today, you know, we don't have to go through that to be in the same place. We're all in the same place. That's what the gospel message says. David, having been a man of God, knowing Jesus, not Jesus in the name of Jesus, but knowing God as his Savior, having that hope that we had, have, did this horrible thing. And yet, he called upon the Lord who he knew was merciful. I mean, he was merciful before this. That's why David had him as his Savior, because God's merciful. And David came out of that. But it's the same thing we all have to come through, even without doing such a horrendous thing, is we're saved by the, because God is so merciful and loving. That's why we're saved. When we have that one down, we can minister that one to others, because it has nothing to do with judgment of a person because of how they are or what they do. It all has to do with the mercy of God that redeems sinful man. And that's what we are. That's what we have to share. It is, we should go on to some other scriptures because it is, it's a magnificent thing. I don't know what else to say. It's the most beautiful thing in all the world. What God did for all who will receive it. So, Psalm, let's just read through a couple of these Psalms before the end. Psalm 26:7, Karen.
Okay. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works.
Amen. Salvation being one of them, if right? Psalm 119, 172.
Trying to get it off mute here. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness.
Amen. And you know, that's spoken out of experience there and out of that confidence that God calls us to have in his word. And then Psalm 145, verses 10 through 12.
All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom.
You know, that's a maybe a great one to kind of end on, because we now are partakers of all of that. We now, dwelling in the body of Christ, in our soul and spirit dwelling there, all of those things we now partake of, even now. Certainly that's not the same as being there in heaven, but we have that now to share. So when you look at Mark 16, where he tells us, well, he was talking to his disciples, but let me get to that. Karen, do you want to read that 15 through 18, Mark 16?
Sure. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Isn't that the glory of thy kingdom, thy power, Isn't that making known to the sons of men God's mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom? You know what I mean? And though he didn't speak that to us in the present tense where he was there, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's us. Or it can be us. And then if we believe him, not only for the, and it really starts with the sufficiency of his blood. From that vantage point, there is nothing, nothing to hold us back. Absolutely nothing. And we know that he is faithful who has promised. And, you know, going back to Davy's service, go back and listen to it. You know, he talked about how to get confidence in the Lord, what to do. We can do those things and grow in the Lord and grow in confidence so that we, you know, serve him well. And the part of that service, if not all of that service, is to others, sometimes in the body, but, you know, we're talking about witnessing. That's outside the body, to bring others in. So, I don't know if you guys have anything further to share.
No, I don't have anything else. Karen's shaking her head no.
Pray and ask the Lord to give you opportunities to share what great things he has done in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
And believe him for it and go forth and look for him, right? Know that he'll bring it to pass.
Indeed.
Have confidence in him.
So, thanks everybody for joining us, and may the Lord bless and may you be strengthened in him. We will hope to see y'all next week. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, all.